Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
William Temple was the Archbishop for all of the Anglican Church and living in England during a terrific time of war. Somebody came up to him and he said, "What difference does prayer really make?" He says, "Well, what I've noticed is that when I pray, a lot of coincidences seem to happen. And when I don't pray, coincidences don't happen. That those God coincidences are a way of connecting the dots of our openness for God's presence to work through his power that we might know the pathway to live our lives." As the search team was praying on all of our behalf and doing our due diligent work, analysis, research, reference checks, in-person visits, comparative interviews with other people, all the while we knew it was about a spiritual-filled process under God's leadership for us to find his provided answer. And you've been experiencing the fruit of that this morning, with potential then for years to come before that will be. So as the photograph that you may take within your mind of Sarah and Jacob, lifting them up in prayer for their wedding and then for us to join them in the beginning of their family life. Or Jacob, who's been leading in the midst of worship at Truett Seminary at Baylor at First Baptist Church Hamilton, be praying for them as they make transitions for Jacob to come and be with us. Prayer is a way of stepping into God's presence. Prayer can happen early in the morning, late at night, happy, sad, glad, mad, walking in the woods, being in the sanctuary. It can happen with words and without words. It can happen with eyes open, eyes closed, but if it's eyes closed, don't be driving your car. It is a sense of wherever we are, it is a way of being aware that we are in God's presence. Prayer is the remarkable gift of God's grace, that his love always invites us into his mercy to be underneath his sovereign care and power, and the call for us to be obedient because it's the best way to live life. And so God made clear a way for that to happen is by his life, his ministry, his death, and his resurrection. And in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, in the middle of the 111 verses, he gave us a pathway of a prayer. Not that we're always to pray this prayer and it's the only prayer, but that this prayer teaches us how to pray as a pathway to go. And it moves us forward in our being in God's presence. That's why Phillips Brooks, one of the fascinating people of the 1800s, a pastor during the Civil War, said prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but laying hold of his willingness. God is already on your side. He wants you to be on his side. God made you in his image as a gift of life. He wants you to be remade in the fullness of Christ Jesus. And laying hold of God's willingness into our life is how we receive the power then to live. So we can step into that first conversation as we watch this clip of Jesus inviting us into the prayer.
Therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
In the message series from the Sermon on the Mount, The Habits of Excellent Living, the prayer life sets the tone for all of our habits. Just as we can begin the day and say, "This is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be exceedingly glad within it." It sets a tone for the day that we are to move through. And so when we ask our questions moving through each day around the habits of our life, we'll ask those interrogative questions, those six questions of who, what, where, how, when, and why. And we may look at the 68 words of the sermon, of the Lord's Prayer, and let them speak to us around the questions that we ask. One way of getting at it is like this. To whom do we pray? Well, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Well, that's obvious, isn't it? And yet so often we'll find ourselves praying to worry, praying to career advancement, praying to fear, instead of bringing our worry and our fear and our desired best career pathway into God's presence. It can be so consuming in our life that we find ourselves actually praying to it and we leave God on the sideline. But when we stretch ourselves into the fullness of the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who has made all and made you and knows you by name and the DNA soul of who you are, when we pray unto the Father, well, we've really begun the conversation of all conversations. Jesus will speak frequently in the Sermon on the Mount about not worrying. It does no good to tell someone, just don't worry, because we'll just start worrying all the more because we were told not to worry and we're worrying about our worrying. But we have to have something to replace it that is real and alive. That's the living Father who's available to all. O-U-R. The radical nature that would ultimately get Jesus nailed to the cross is because he knew the Father belonged to all and he had come to as the Messiah for each. And on the cross, Jesus would pray, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Who you pray to makes all the difference. And why we pray. We typically pray about this and that, things that we need and things which we're worried about, all of which are important to God, and God wants us to name them so that we may place them into his hands and trust him to shape them and shape us so that we will see his answer. But how God really wants us to pray over all is that his will be done, that we will love him so much and desire him so much each day that we will trust him, and that his desire would become our desire. And then we would help to establish his kingdom in our family, in our businesses, in our personal relationships, through our private life, and wherever we go. That's the radical nature. That's why earlier, just before he taught us the prayer, he was saying you can go to in your closet and to pray, because I want to make sure you're not praying just for the accolade of people. It's not that it's wrong to pray publicly. We do it. But we can only pray publicly if we pray privately. And both are personal prayers, making sure that we are about his will being in our life and finding the sweetness of it. Now, we know a lot about getting excited about things which excite us. I mean, the Super Bowl is going to be played this afternoon, I understand. Kickoff's at 5:30 in Houston, Texas, just east of us. More than 100 million people from around the world will tune in. And if you haven't already bought your commercial, it may be too late. It would have only cost you $5 million for 30 seconds. What concerns me, though, is what some people are putting on Facebook, is this notice that you should be as excited about church as you are about the Super Bowl, so when your pastor makes a point this Sunday, pour Gatorade over his head. No head. Okay. That's it. Our culture can get us in with stuff, and I'm going to watch the game, and it's wonderful, and I am... You know, Baylor lost 2 games this past week. But none of that is kingdom stuff. All of that is fun cultural things to connect with. Maybe as a way of stirring us to excellence within our own life. But for us to bring our best excitement with the praise and the wonder and the joy of it all into what establishes kingdom in our world. When? When do we pray? Well, I've already mentioned you can pray all the time and everywhere. But when we pray, it can be connected to our recognition of our need for daily bread. And so as we take literally our bread in our life, barley bread would have been the typical bread for the poor people in the day of Jesus. And as they took the barley bread, they were grateful for it, and they offered the prayers of thanksgiving. When we have our meal, it's not a throwaway time. Maybe just quietly or with eyes open or silently we may share with others. Thank you for this meal that nourishes our body for this day and the hands who have made it. Strengthen me that I may serve your purpose. In the sense of that prayer, like the prayer that provided the manna for the Israelite people leaving bondage, trying to get to the promised land. They were caught in between, didn't know what would happen next, and Jesus provided for them daily bread by a plant in the wilderness. Or the Eucharist bread, the communion bread, the bread of the Lord's Supper time, the bread that brings us into the full awareness that God is with us, the bread. The fellow in this photograph that you've been seeing is just displaying the many moods that he has and all of his emotions, kind of laying them out there. And so our prayer recognizes we are people of many emotions, and we bring them all as the wind time for our prayer. And what we pray? Well, one way of looking at that is getting along with each other by the way of forgiveness and grace. In the celebration of wedding vows in our sanctuary, it's the recognition that no marriage can make it without forgiveness. No friendship can be durable through the course of time without mercy. No church can live in the strength and the boldness of the Spirit without knowing how to be the people of grace for each other. And so Jesus said, forgive us our trespasses. When we get on each other's life and get in the way and we cause other people to stumble, like with debts or like with sins, as also translated in the scripture. Now we need to be aware when we do that. And we need to ask for forgiveness and to give forgiveness. When I was growing up, we had a German police dog in our backyard, and we had the signs around the yard saying, beware of dog. And King was a dog to be aware of. When King was no longer there, we still kept the signs up. But we can live our lives with a sense of beware of, don't come near me, because we have been hurt in the past. But if we come with real grace and forgiveness into hurting lives, then we can help people to rebuild a trust and to say, invite people into our lives. What do we really need now is what Jesus will get to in the next chapter in the Sermon on the Mount. It's why so often we need forgiveness is when we don't follow the golden rule, when we don't let the golden rule make gold for everyone in Matthew 7:12. So in everything Jesus said, read the underlying part with me. Do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. We're in a radical need in the relationships of America and for our world to have push a reset button. And how do we reset a button when people are yelling at each other and distrusting each other and denigrating each other? Is for someone to step up and say, do you remember that, well, that teaching by this one called Jesus? He gave us a way to live with each other even when we disagree with each other, a way to go forward. He said, treat each other like you want to be treated. Let's talk about how we can treat each other. Forgiveness provides a pathway. And then when we pray, leads to where we pray. And just like the when we pray, it can be anywhere and everywhere. But Jesus said, I want you to know that when you enter in temptation, it's not a time to stop praying. It's a time to focus your prayers. That the Lord won't lead us in temptation, and he will deliver us from evil. So don't go putting yourself in the middle of the temptation, just asking God to always rescue you. But ask the questions along the way. Is this where I need to be? Is this what I need to be doing? And helping others to get out of the harm's way. But if we're in the middle of it, or we're on the other side of having committed the sin, God doesn't leave us there. He doesn't abandon us, even if we've abandoned his ways. He will lead us out. Like through the valley of the shadow of death, fearing no evil, because his rod and his staff, his presence is with us, his confidence for our life. And then how we pray? Well, there are many ways of praying. We pray with our bended knee. We can pray with our hands folded. We can pray with others. We pray alone. Jesus prayed on the mountainside by himself. He prayed when he was about to make a big decision of which disciples to call. He prayed in the midst of the Last Supper experience on behalf of the temptation coming before his disciples. But he put it this way. always know this when you pray. Always know the how of how God will respond. What God will always want to do in the how response. He'll build his kingdom, reveal his glory, and give you his power. That when we've prayed and we've said amen, and we have the courage to do what's required for us to do, we know we have been in God's presence. When we arise from our prayer, and we know that he is going before us, we know that we have been in his presence. When we know that where we go with our lives, it's about revealing him in our laughter and our smile, our strength, our stand. We know we have been in his presence. And oh, how the world knows, how the world needs to know that we have been in his presence. Let's pray together. We move now to a prayer of a hymn. We move now to the response of our lives. We move now to your call upon where you want to lead us. We come with hearts desiring to be obedient unto you, O Lord. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.